This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar together with Wong Xiaoning and Philip Si. We are turning our attention to China's economy. China, once a front runner in the race to recovery, may have lost its steam as it recently reported economic growth of just 4.9% in the third quarter. Now, this is its slowest pace of growth in a year.
Now, some contributing factors to this lower than expected growth could be the energy crisis, which triggered, of course, a power rationing to industrial and residential areas, ongoing regulatory crackdown or policy changes to very significant sectors, sporadic COVID-19 outbreaks, and this looming worry over the property market in China.
Now, September's industrial production also missed forecasts, rising 3.1% in September as compared to August's growth of 5.3%. Now, however, going against the negative trend, retail sales have rebounded to 4.4% in September, up 22.5% in August.
So helping us to make sense of all these trends, we have Christina Ju, an economist at Moody's Analytics, on the line with us. Good morning, Christina. Thanks for joining us today. So what factors do you think are most contributing to the dampening growth in China? Is this down to pandemic factors, or are there long-standing structural issues coming to a head?
From the monthly retail sales and production numbers, we can see that COVID still played the dominant role in the first 2 months. So domestic consumption took a pretty hard hit in July and August from the virus flare-ups across the country and extreme weather in central and coastal regions. This put a lid on the services recovery as disrupted summer travel held back restaurant sales and tourism-related spending. Production was holding up well in the first half of the quarter, but stumbled in September when power shortages hit. The impact of China's property market crisis have also started to emerge. So property sales cooled rapidly over the past month, pressuring already cash-strapped developers. This has led to reduced real estate investment and dampened the overall fixed asset investment.
So how do you expect Beijing to respond to this? Do you expect them to provide more stimulus or loosen its fiscal and regulatory policy then?
We've already seen the People's Bank of China easing monetary policy over the past quarter by lowering reserve requirement ratio and providing direct liquidity injections. But the credit expansion remains sluggish due to weak credit demand and rising concerns about credit risks. We are not expecting significant stimulus in the near term as they seem to have enough liquidity in the banking system. Having said that, it's still crucial for the central bank to maintain an accommodative stance in order to stabilize market expectations and protect consumer, business, and bank confidence. On the fiscal front, we do expect fiscal spending and infrastructure investment to ramp up, with manufacturing and real estate investment losing momentum. Infrastructure projects will play a greater role in supporting construction activities and fixed asset investment in the current quarter and early next year. But the scale-wise, we will expect it to be modest because of the tight government balance and the upward pressure on producer prices.
And can I get your perspective, because especially on COVID, because China is one of the few holdout countries, right, maintaining a zero COVID strategy. So they really do short and sharp lockdowns. Is it still viable, you know, and how do you think the cases of COVID-19 will affect its economy?
I think there are pros and cons of this strategy. So far, I think China has largely benefited from this policy, particularly its trade performance. The zero COVID strategy helped the country avoid large-scale factory shutdowns and allowed it to take advantage of strong external demand to grow its manufacturing sector and protect jobs. A relatively stable recovery outlook so far has also brought China a record amount of foreign investment, but there are also side effects of this strategy. Going in and out of strict lockdowns repeatedly, even just at the local level, is highly disruptive to services recovery, especially for consumer-facing industries. It is also harmful for consumer and business confidence. We've seen higher precautionary saving from households, and business investment appetite is dented due to bumpy recovery demand recovery outlook. So going forward, China will likely reassess the cost and benefit of this strategy and adjust accordingly.
And you mentioned about this open-shut kind of strategy affecting services, but at the same time, we are seeing an increase in retail sales. So what do you think is actually driving this? This is one of the indicators that has bucked the downward trend, and we're seeing increases instead.
I mean, there was some reopening effect in September's retail sales rebound as the virus outbreaks and lockdowns in July and August created some pent-up demand. So we saw broad-based improvement in restaurant sales, clothing, jewelry, home appliances, and communication devices. But it's also worth noting that the rebound was actually quite modest. Both the year-over-year growth and seasonally adjusted monthly gain were nowhere near what we had before the outbreaks. Trips and tourism spending during the Mid-Autumn Festival and the National Day holiday were still down from last year and far below pre-pandemic levels. Vehicle sales remain soft, and the rapid cooling property market will likely suppress demand for construction materials, furniture, and home appliances in coming months.
Now, Christina, other economists point to a new risk of stagflation, and that's where the economy is hit by slower growth, as well as high inflation and unemployment. Do you think China is at risk of that?
As I mentioned, much of the slowdown in the third quarter was driven by temporary disruption caused by extreme weather and virus outbreaks. So we expect some rebound in the fourth quarter, especially in domestic consumption. Labor market remained healthy so far, and the unemployment rate actually declined in September. So though producer prices are surging, consumer prices actually remain soft and will likely remain tame in the near future. So we don't think stagflation is much of a concern for China at the moment.
Let's address the bull in the China shop, which is Evergrande. You know, last week, PBOC said that it is confident in containing the risk stemming from Evergrande's crisis. How do you see this playing out?
I think the contingent risks from the property market fall are largely manageable, even though the slowdown in real estate investment and housing prices could stay for a while. Regulators have taken actions to protect home buying consumers and have injected enough liquidity into the banking system to ensure broader financial and social stability. We may see some spillover effects on property-related upstream and downstream industries, but a pickup in infrastructure investment should be able to cushion the impact.
So, Christina, before we let you go, what are your expectations of GDP growth for 2022 then when it comes to China?
Given the supply side challenges and the risk in the property market, we expect China to have a relatively slow start for the next year. So now we are looking for China to grow at about 5-6% for 2022.
Christina, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning. That was Christina Zhu, economist from Moody's Analytics, giving us her take on what China's economic outlook is going to look like. 5-6% economic growth for 2022 is her estimates. And as she said earlier, no risk of stagflation in China, not quite yet. Things are still okay compared to maybe other parts of the world.
Yeah, I think this stagflation is something that you hear more and more, especially in the US. Of course, because they are at this very odd point where, you know, they still want to fiscally pump prime, but yet inflation is a problem. And I see these headwinds. So not easy for them to solve. But for China, which is definitely a more controlled economy, they can use many levers to control or at least to kind of push growth. But it's not without its risks because, for example, there is a property slowdown. Retail sales, even though there's an uptick, isn't as great as expected. During the Golden Holiday week, sales weren't great. There wasn't as much tourism. And because their borders remain shut, it's going to be so much domestic driven, right? It needs to be, internal consumption needs to be strong. Employment needs to be robust.
Yeah, this is the point where, you know, China's economic structure has to move towards perhaps more consumption driven because its current focus on industrial manufacturing, I think, will not give it the growth it needs to do. So it has to drive towards that. But as you say, right, there are a lot of consumption related risks. Housing is one, public debt, household is another issue. So they have to address those systemic problems in China as well. But I think relatively more manageable compared to, I think, developed markets.
For sure. So not surprising that Moody's has a forecast of 5-6% for China's GDP growth for 2022, which is pretty much in line with the Bloomberg consensus. I think most economists have a 5.5% GDP growth for the year, still very good. But this year, I think the expectations was 8.2%, but 3Q was weak. Let's see how 4Q turns out.
Actually, the numbers were even lower than analyst expectations.
Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.